Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
It's that this is a song that exists about Cincinnati, which is where this next story is from.
It's about Skyline Chili. What is this song called?
It's literally called Skyline Chili Love Song.
Oh, my God.
No.
So your love is watered down, overpriced garbage. Good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is going on in the Cincinnati public schools.
Okay. So this is how bad things are getting for homelessness now. And it's not a unique to Kansas City problem, right? But this is a pretty interesting solution. So over 300 students in the Cincinnati public school system do not have a place to sleep at night, often sleeping in their parents' cars, which good luck sometimes finding a safe place to sleep in a car if you've ever had that experience. But, yeah. You know, not you can't park everywhere overnight. Not everywhere's safe. And so to make that experience a little less difficult, Cincinnati Public Schools is offering a secure lot for families to sleep in their vehicles on school property. They say they have watched student homelessness grow over 15 years. Every year, they say they've been seeking additional funding because of the need. The need just keeps growing, and we don't want any child to have nowhere to go. And shelters are full, like they are everywhere. And it takes time to get into a shelter, and not everybody qualifies. And you want your kid to be able to go to this school. And what if the shelter that has space is on the other side of town? And so you don't want to do that. So in that time, many find themselves living out of a car, parked where they can get a good night's rest. It hurts my heart just to be talking about this.
Yeah.
Just the fact that a school, and Cincinnati Public School is pretty big, but that the school is saying, you know, we can't even take the step. The need is so big that we can't even take the step yet of trying to figure out how to house them, but at least we can provide a parking lot with security lights and cameras and gates and all of that where they can sleep in their car safely.
What happens when it gets cold? What happens when it's, you know, it's Cincinnati. They have pretty much the same climate as us.
Yeah.
It'll get down into the teens and negative digits overnight. What do you do then? Do you still expect them to sleep in their cars in the parking lot? Or do you open up the gym and put a bunch of cots out for people or at least the kids to sleep on?
It's a good question. And then I worry about the school taking this on. As a liability, I worry about, like, if you're going to let people sleep in the gym overnight, are you going to background check everybody that's sleeping in that gym? Because you're going to have adults sleeping in the same room as kids that they don't know. And I hate to go dark about it.
Well, maybe you can have the kids sleep in the gym, but not.
Not with their parents,
not
though?
With their parents. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Oh, like, I know. I'm not trying to pick on you.
If there's a way you do this where you're not worried about the adults doing something, then maybe, yeah, you say that that's the option. You can drop your kid off at the door. We'll take them in. You can pick them up in the morning. But also, you know, it, what about on weekends? Is it just for school
question.
Or is this anytime?
That's a very good question. The lot will have all night. So right now it's partially fenced in. They're going to entirely fence it in. Right now there are 12 spaces approved for families to park and sleep. My guess is they're going to need a lot more than that. So they'll have all night security. They just say supplies to give families privacy. Yeah. And their neighboring headquarters will be equipped to give out resources like food and clothing while getting families in touch with jobs and family services. And they basically said, we know that this is not the answer, but we at least need to start with giving them a safe place to sleep while they find shelter placement. Because my next thought would be then, first of all, I don't, I'm just so uncomfortable with schools do so many things already. Somebody suggested a few weeks ago, like churches need to get involved. I mean, I need the city of Cincinnati to do this,
yes.
Not Cincinnati Public Schools. This is a lot for them to take on, because then the next question is, okay, can they open up like the gym showers then beforehand so that they can take showers so that parents with job interviews can have access to showers?
And then are we just turning schools and homeless shelters?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want schools to be.
Because they shouldn't. It's not even that they don't have the resources. It's that they shouldn't have the responsibility.
They don't have the resources. Well, I mean, we need schools to be spending that money on educating kids.
I agree. I'm saying, like, it would be after school. They could make it work where people could come in. My point is, or shower and all that stuff. The bigger, broader point is they shouldn't have the responsibility of doing this. And what bothers me about this is so often when we talk about homelessness in this country, we talk about these half measures,
right?
Where, okay, it's okay that we're not building shelters. It's okay that we're not taking care of children. You can sit here and tell me that you don't care about homeless people, that you don't care about men and women who have made bad decisions, who are on drugs. Mm-hmm. You're going to sit here and tell me you don't care about their children? You don't care about homeless kids who through no fault of their own are swept up in this absolute maelstrom of financial crisis. It's not their fault that they're there, but you're going to say, you know what? Nope. That's a hard knock life. You just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's a good lesson for these kids to sleep in the cars. Like, what is the argument for this instead of building shelters that these people can go to?
I feel like it's because, and I don't have a story, like I'm sure somebody's going to ask the city of Cincinnati, why aren't you doing more? I give credit to the school district for doing something.
Yeah.
It just hurts so much because that, like, put yourself in that position of being, this is a high school? No, this is just school district. So this is kids of any age. So you're 10 years old and your family is homeless, and it's bad enough that you're homeless and you can't get into a shelter for whatever reason because there's not space or it's too far away from your school. So you're sleeping in your car overnight, and then you have to worry about where you're going to park that car so that you are safe enough when you sleep in the front seat with your seat laid down. Right. You know, you have to think about how to stay safe in that car.
And to that aspect of it, because this was occurring to me while I was reading the story too. They talk about security and they talk about, well, there'll be a fence and everything. Okay. And yet at the same time, you're having a collection of targets instead of having the targets spread out.
That's what I thought too. It's vulnerable.
It makes people more vulnerable when they're all together because people know, oh, hey, that's where all those people are sleeping.
Right.
And while you might think, what do they possibly have in their cars that's worth stealing? Guys, if they're homeless, that means that they're keeping valuable stuff in their cars, just the people in there, but they have things that they used to have in a house or an apartment in their car.
I could see them trying to steal the cars.
Or the cars.
Just try to steal the cars. I feel like this is like as basic as when we used to talk about trying to find safe places to meet. If you were selling someone something on Craigslist or whatever, and we used to say like the QT parking lot or police department parking. Yep. Can the police department not do it instead? Can we not? Does it have to be the school?
I guess that would be safer.
Yeah. Give me a police. If we're only talking about 12 spaces or however many we're talking about, can it not be a city hall parking lot? Why does it have to be the school? The school's already feeding breakfast to kids. They're already feeding lunch to kids. They're doing aftercare. They're doing daycare services. They're doing all these things that we're providing daycare for the kids of the kids that are in school. Where is the city of Cincinnati on it? I hate that this is at a school.
If you can allocate a bunch of parking spaces to this, then the city and the county can inventory and allocate 120 rapid rehousing slots. There's no reason. Why can't you fund those instead? And I'm so tired. I mean, we've had this argument several times over the last couple of weeks. I'm so tired of the argument that these people need to take care of themselves. You can make that argument when we're talking about adults. I'll still fight back on it. But for the love of God, can you have a little bit of sympathy for a child that's going through this?
Do you think that kid wants to be in that special lot where the homeless kids sleep overnight?
Sure.
Like, that's exactly what they want, is to have more attention drawn to the fact that they're homeless.
How are you expecting them to improve their lives when they've slept in a car overnight, then they're going to school? How are you expecting them to get better grades? How are you expecting them to do well enough in school that they can pull themselves out of poverty? Or do you just not care?
And you're right. I mean, what do you do when it's cold out?
Yeah.
What do you do when it's hot out? What do you do during the summer? What do you do when school is closed?
Yeah, I mean,
over winter
cold
break
is one thing you always cover up. But right, when it gets hot?
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Dan in Olathe. Hey, Dan. Did I hit the right button? Hold on. There you go. Sorry about that. And I hit the wrong button. What's up?
It's all right. I guess I've got a very good discussion, and I think all your comments are well-founded. I don't have the magical answer either, so I'm not going to pretend like I do. Although, I would say this. When they tried to – I haven't seen an example yet in the country where, while it feels good, we're providing additional housing and shelter overall helps this homeless problem. There's just not an example where that's worked. It just made the problem worse. They tried this in Lawrence, Kansas, you may recall, last year, providing them tents and nurses and healthcare and food, and it just made the problem worse and worse and worse. The idea of parking cars in a school parking, I don't know which people are going to go to the bathroom and everything.
That's a good point.
It sounds good, and it feels good, but it doesn't do good in the end. We shouldn't do things just because they make us feel better. Are we going to really help the homeless problem, which is there are private entities, like in Kansas City, Hillcrest Transitional Housing, awesome private group that really does, not solving every problem, but a good place to help if you're looking for a place. But I just haven't seen anywhere, particularly if you look at California or Seattle or Washington, where they spent billions of dollars providing shelters, and the problem just keeps getting worse. So while I claim to have the answer, I don't think that's the answer.
Well,
it just makes the problem worse.
Thanks, Dan.
And the
answer is that the answer is complicated. The answer is more than one thing. The answer is jobs. The answer is job training. The answer is mental health for those that need it. The answer is drug rehab for those that need it. I mean, it's not going to be one answer that applies to everybody the same way. But man, can we start with shelter?
Yeah.
I mean, can we start with meeting basic needs of shelter and food?
What's that? Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yeah. That's it.
And as far as whether shelters help or not, and giving people shelter and services helps, there's been numerous studies that I don't know exactly what he's talking about. It sounded kind of, to be fair, anecdotal about Lawrence. But there have been numerous studies by HUD, San Francisco Navigation Center, New York City Safe Haven, all of those places. They've done studies that show that shelter sites moved a meaningful share of people into safety, out of danger, and allowed them a better stance to get a good job and to become a productive member of society. And here's the thing. When you bring up California, bring up Seattle, I mean, I spent a lot of time in Seattle, so I know very well about their homeless issue and their situation. Spoke on it at length when I was there. Yes, they do have one. Yes, California has one. A lot of that has to do with the flood of drugs on the West Coast being worse than it is in a lot of other parts of the country. I'm not blaming it all on that, but they also have a severe housing crisis in California and in Washington.
Oh, and the price. Lord.
Right, the housing crisis is because of the price.
Yeah.
They aren't building new houses, and they don't have, and it's too expensive to rent even for a lot of people. And that trickles down. So, and a lot of people don't understand that. Like, well, there's cheap There's cheap housing everywhere. Like, if you want it, there's cheap housing. First of all housing has gone up. It's not just high-end housing.
Right.
But also, when, say, South Overland Park, where I live, say the average cost of renting a house there goes from around $25,000 to $3,000 now to $55,000 to $6,000. A lot of people wouldn't be able to afford that. So where are they going to move? They're going to move to the next step, which is, you know, lower cost housing, maybe further north. And then where do those people move? Because now there's nowhere for them to go. They move. And then it basically creates a domino effect where at the end of that domino, at the end of that chain, is somebody living with their family in an apartment that maybe costs $800 a month, who now have been outsourced or outplaced by somebody who's willing to take it, who has more money and willing to pay more. Now those people are out on the street. That's the domino effect that it causes. That is more of the problem. Having said that, the shelters in Seattle, the shelters in Los Angeles and California, they do make a difference. They're the people who live there. Yes, they have a lot of homeless people. It would be so much worse without the shelters that they have.
Yeah,
it would be so much worse. It doesn't cure. It doesn't solve the problem, but it makes it so that people have a place to go. And on top of that, God help them. If you think it's bad now, if they didn't have those shelters, it would be a million times worse.
So the model that works, I mean, if we're talking about like, how do we solve for homelessness is, and I've said before, Board of Veterans Community Project, where this is only for veterans, but the model would work. It's not a cheap model. You can't just house people. I mean, that's the first step, but you got to figure out why they were homeless in the first place. And then you got to solve that for them, and everybody's different. But this is why Veterans Community Project has an 85% success rate in terms of the people that have been in those tiny houses that never end up unhoused again.
Right.
It's because they call it wraparound services. It's because you have a counselor and you have somebody that works with you one-on-one and figures out, was it PTSD? Do you need mental health counseling? Are you bad with money? Were you never taught financial literacy? I mean, what is that stuff? Do you need job training? And we fix whatever those factors are for you. And then you go into permanent housing. All of that's really expensive, but that's how you fix it.
Yeah. And I think there's also, we have a little bit of an outdated version of being unhoused or being homeless. And for those of us who grew up in the 90s, where housing was plentiful and inexpensive, it almost seems like if you're homeless in this country, you want to be homeless. If you're homeless in this country, you want to be, because why couldn't you just get a place?
Right.
Why don't you just get a job? Why don't you just make enough money to provide for your family? And increasingly, that's becoming harder for people because the cost of housing is going up and the wages for jobs isn't necessarily going up. So I think a lot of people approach this with a less caring and less sympathetic point of view because for decades that was kind of the case. Where I'm not saying it was true for everybody, but it was easier to find a house. It was easier to get a job, and now those opportunities are disappearing.
And the thing about, back to your example of it, you know, people move out and out and out and out and out where rent is cheaper. The problem is the jobs aren't there.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And
where are you going to work?
And so then how do you get them out of homelessness? So where are you going to work? And what if the jobs are 15 miles away? Well, they don't have cars, so how are they going to get there? I mean, buses here are going to start charging again, and bus routes don't go everywhere. You need the people to be where the services are. And most services are downtown, and that's usually where rent is higher. Yeah, when you talk about, like, I can think in my neighborhood, rent's probably, you know, $1,500 probably on average. Mm-hmm. But yeah, where you are, that's $2,000, $3,000 a month.
Who's affording that? Yeah.
Who's affording that with a full-time job, let alone...
I don't know that I would be able to do without both me and Katie working.
Yeah.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Hey, Amanda, hang on the line. We want to talk to you when we get back. She used to be homeless or unhoused in Lawrence. So definitely want to hear your perspective on that. 913-586-7798. Talk about this some more coming up on Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Started off this conversation talking about the Cincinnati public school system, and over 300 students there do not have a place to sleep at night, often sleeping in their parents' cars. That is incredibly unsafe. Where can you park? How do you, you know, put window covers up so that no one, you know, will know that you're sleeping inside? And the Cincinnati public school system has become the first school system in the country to create a secure parking lot. It's fenced in. It has security for families to sleep in their vehicles on school property. That's how bad we've gotten, is that we at least got to get a place for the people sleeping in cars to do that safely.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Seems like a half measure to me, but that seems like what we're stuck with in this country when it comes to this growing problem. Let's go to Amanda in Lawrence. Hey, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi. What do you have to say about this, Amanda?
Okay. So I was homeless in Lawrence a couple times in my early 20s. Thank God I'm not in that position now. And I've heard you guys talk about this conversation multiple times, so I'm happy that I'm able to chime in. I feel like a lot of the problem, and I don't mean to be insensitive, but I am 10 years later now seeing the same homeless people that were here 10 years ago. And so when people talk about they choose to be homeless, and you talk to these people, and I've been homeless, I've talked to them, they really choose, a lot of them choose to live this life. And it's a lot of addiction issues and alcohol issues that come along with it. And there's so many resources here in Lawrence that's how I was able to pull myself out of it.
Right.
And so I think a lot of it comes down to accountability. I was once homeless in Ohio, a domestic violence thing. And I went to a women's shelter, and what really worked there was, as they told these women, we're going to let you have this house, a safe place for your kids, but you have this amount of time to get a job. When you got a job, you had to give a portion of your paycheck to the center. They held it for you. Once you had enough money, they helped find you housing. They provided counseling. So they gave accountability to these women. If these women didn't follow through, it was like, you know, we gave you these options. You didn't want to do them. Now we have to help someone else that wants to, and you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
80% of these women got off the streets, got their own housing, and were doing better because there was some type of accountability.
Right.
So that's exactly Veterans Community Project. Same idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. The half issue is housing these people. That's honestly, if they're addicted to drugs and alcohol, giving them a place for them to do, I hate to say this, but to do
the drugs.
Their addiction.
Right. And that it has been a big problem in areas with heavy drug addiction has been letting the people in. And then there's been an argument. Do we give them a safe place then to keep shooting up or smoking fentanyl or doing whatever? And I have a problem with that. Like, yeah. As sympathetic as I am to people with addiction and homelessness, I have a problem with that. Like, that's not there, you know, because the idea is if we don't let them do it here, then they're going to do it somewhere where they're not safe. Well, right. that comes down to a personal choice on their part.
Yeah,
that is personal choice. That is accountability. And you're 100% right. I do want to say this, though, about like seeing the same people out there. Those are this is also the problem with the unhoused or homelessness, is the people that you typically see that are homeless look homeless. Yeah. Like the people that you notice and the stereotype that you have is the guy with one shoe on walking down the street ranting to himself, mm-hmm. or somebody begging for money with, you know, the fingers cut out of his gloves and things like that. What the majority, the vast majority of it is people sleeping in cars.
Right.
People sleeping behind buildings, people keeping out of sight. The ones that go inside are exactly who you're talking about. The ones who probably...
The ones I'm referring to are the ones who, they have a program in Lawrence called Lynx where they feed every day. You have, you go in and it's almost like a buffet, but they feed the homeless people. And so you are getting everyone, even the ones sleeping in their cars. And when I talk to them, it's accountability. Mm-hmm. There's excuses that are made. Well, we can't. And I've even talked to some of them and said, hey, I got out of it. Let me help you. You can do this, that, and this. They don't want that accountability. It's very sad. The ones that will take your help, and then you'll see them a little year later, and they're doing great.
Right.
And so I feel like holding them accountable and continuing to hold them accountable. Also in Lawrence, there's a huge problem where they just people go to jail. They let them out. The guy who just punched a bus driver in Lawrence, mm-hmm. he's been homeless for multiple years. I see him around, and then now he's affecting someone else. With the mental health issue. And here in Lawrence, there's new mental health facilities coming up. So it's not an issue of the resources not being here. It's they just don't want to take them. I feel. What do you do about that?
Yeah. And I have to tell you, maybe this is too simple of an answer, but my answer to that is start with who you can help. And if there are people that don't want to be helped, okay then.
Yeah.
But there are plenty that do want to be helped. So let's start there.
And it's,
can I just blend
yeah, go ahead.
A couple of ideas together?
Mm-hmm.
Personal accountability and compassion are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
That is so beautifully said, Quentin.
That is exactly what I was trying to say. You said that way better than the gush of thoughts that were going to come out of my mm-hmm. my face hole. Exactly. Those are not mutually exclusive things. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, you can have empathy for people and you can want to give people sort of a basic level of decency. And you can also come to the idea and understand that at a certain point, you do have to be the one that takes that next step. But you have to give people the opportunity to be able to take that next step. And I think that's where we're sort of stuck in this idea that
all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. And it's not. We as people, our brains work linearly.
Yes.
And the world is not black and white. The world is full of a lot of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think sometimes we forget that.
That's really well said. And it is 100% the problem. It's all or nothing thinking. And I hate to make this about us or doing a talk show or whatever, but just here's something that gets frustrating for me sometimes when we do topics is if Jamie and I and Quentin say, you know what? We need to have more shelters. We need to have mm-hmm. more compassion for these people. All we get is flooded with people who say, so just coddle them then. Just let them come in and do all their drugs and eat all the food and they'll never get better. It's not what we're saying. We're saying develop shelters with programs that will help them become active members of society. And by the way, we say that all the time.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about this, we say shelters are a place where they can get help and they can learn to be more productive. It'll help them find jobs. They'll get a shower, all that stuff. But nobody hears that because of what you just said, so much all or nothing, black and white thinking.
Yeah.
Either you feel sorry for them and you just want to take care of them like the little babies, or you want to just kick them out and do nothing because that's easier.
We got to have a first step.
Yeah.
And just don't assume that it's not going to be you at some point. You just never know 100%. The turns that life could take. Yeah. And just because you've never been in that situation before, don't think that you may need that help someday. Because you just never know, you lose your job, emergency expenses, you just never know what's going to happen. Or it could happen to someone you love, and you would want that person to be taken care of.
So that you don't have to do it.
So
that you have to. 913-586-7798.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, if you didn't know it, Halloween is what, 2 weeks from Friday?
2 weeks from, no, three.
Nope. Yep. Yeah. 2 weeks from Friday. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's on a Friday this year, which is great.
Yeah.
I know that teachers like that too. And parents like that too. Cause it means you're not hurrying to get the costume on and then hurrying out to trick or treat and hurrying to get to school.
And us party people.
What party?
Are you
people?
Going to parties?
Yeah.
It's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so.
Really? You're going to parties?
I got two parties.
You're going to two Halloween parties? Yeah. I thought you hated people. What happened?
Yeah.
It's people I like.
What are you dressing up?
For one of them, I am.
What is your costume?
I don't know. Whatever this story. I do have a plan to outsource that to Greater Kansas City.
Okay.
You strike me as the type that would refuse to wear a costume.
No, I'm fun.
To a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like I think you could be fun.
You're a bit of a curmudgeon, though.
Yeah.
Admittedly. That's a
but,
part
you know,
of yourself that you embrace.
Can still be fun. Grandpa shows up to the party in a costume, you know?
That's who you should go as.
Now maybe there wasn't a lot of effort put in by Grandpa, but Grandpa showed up in a costume.
Okay, wait. We do not have a list locked down for tomorrow. I know you mentioned desserts.
Yesterday was National Dessert Day. I just thought, ooh, that's a good list to do sometime, but we don't have to do it this week.
But if we give Quentin and if we did this for the list.
Like, what should Quentin
wear
for Halloween?
What should Quentin wear for Halloween?
I and then love that.
You have to do it.
That
no matter
is,
what we pick.
Whoever wins, you have to pick.
Yeah, whatever wins, you have to pick. That you have to wear it.
Okay, I mean, we gotta have some. It's gonna be cold, so.
Do
you know.
I have your
well, we'll
word
tell people that.
On air that you will do this. If we decide, I will pay for your costume. If we decide,
all right, that's helpful.
What you wear on air?
Yeah,
will
sure.
You wear
why
it?
Not?
Okay.
And I'll also tell you, feel free to put a few parameters on it if you want.
Well, I've got.
There are certain things you won't do.
Part of it's going to be outside, so I need to be covered.
Okay, so that's okay. Like, we don't want him to freeze to death.
Yeah, I mean, it's 86 degrees. It better be.
He's
cold
not
going to
be
next week.
It's not going to be that cold.
I need to get cold.
It's what? How warm? It's 83 degrees right now. You think by Halloween it's suddenly going to be in the 30s? It's not going to be.
Okay, so for those of you who have no idea what Quentin looks like, tomorrow on Facebook, we will have Quentin put a picture of himself.
Post a picture
up on our Facebook page,
and then you guys get to decide what he wears.
Dimensions.
It's got to be like something tall.
Yeah, tall, lanky.
Yeah.
Room for the hair. The beard.
Okay.
That is a stip. The beard will not come off.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Because most Halloween costumes, I think you can get away. Even if you were like Freddy Krueger.
I did go as the, the brawny paper towel guy.
Yeah, okay.
I did do that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But I'm saying the beard doesn't change things that much.
No,
like if you're dressed up like,
a woman.
A woman or Freddy Krueger or something like that, Fredrina Krueger, then people would know it because the sweater and the claws and all that stuff. Right. So, but that's not what you're doing
for this.
Okay. So here are the top trending Halloween costumes.
Uh-huh.
Feel free to crib from this for Quentin's costume that we're going to do as a list tomorrow and then decide on Friday. Rumi from K-pop Demon Hunters.
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea what this is.
Oh, good. Then I'll
I've seen it in that I've seen on scrolling through streaming stuff that it's there, but I don't, this is apparently huge. The kids love it.
Uh-huh.
I joked about it once with Finn, and he got angry, so I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Unfortunately, one of my friends, she's into K-pop, and so I know too much about this. So it started out as just a Netflix thing. It was just a Netflix special. It's a K-pop, so Korean pop
Korean
music.
Korean pop music, yeah.
And then it was so popular that Netflix released it in theaters. That's how popular this was.
This is insane.
Yeah.
I remember when the only K-pop I knew was Gangnam Style. That was fun. that was enough.
What are some good days? Yeah.
That's about where I stayed, I think.
Rumi, okay. So the first four are just five are from this Demon Hunter show. Zoe, Mira, Jinu, baby Sasha, all from K-pop Demon Hunters. So I guess there's a lot of characters on the show. I have no idea.
Okay.
And then after that, now we're actually getting into things I'm aware of and could see my kids wanting to wear. The chicken jockey from Minecraft.
I need to Google things.
Okay. So it's just a little zombie toddler that rides a chicken around. But I could see that being a cute costume.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
And it was a big thing when the movie came out.
I remember we talked about this when the movie came out. Yeah.
Kids were going nuts and like throwing popcorn all over the theater.
Well, because you could wear like, they've got like those inflatables.
Right.
So you get like an inflatable chicken.
Where you have the legs, but the it's inflatable around
that's
you.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that would be funny. Labubu, which those are those really expensive demon evil little dolls. Do you know what Labubus are?
No.
Okay. I only know about them.
How are we spelling this?
L-A-B.
L-A-B.
U. B-U.
I never would have guessed that in a million years. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, they're cute, but apparently very expensive. They're like $40 just for like the keychain ones. I only know them because of South Park.
Oh my God, $45?
Yep. Told you.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Oh, and now we're back. Derpy the Tiger from K-pop Demon Hunters. Okay.
Derpy the
Tiger.
I feel so out of touch right now. Derpy the
Well, these
tiger.
Are for like, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. That would be kind of a cute. That's the first one I could see from there. That the other ones are just like, hey, you a girl and you want an excuse to dress all
yes.
bloody. Elphaba from
what?
Wicked. Okay. Well, just the witch. Do you not know who Elphaba is from Wicked? Well, you don't like musicals.
I don't
musicals,
like musicals. No.
But it's just the Wicked Witch. Is she just green?
Wicked Witch. Well, from. What's it from Wicked?
From Wicked.
Sorry, brain didn't remember. I mean,
from Wizard of Oz.
Okay,
but
it gives you a way to be a witch, sure. Okay.
The Lorax.
Okay, yes.
Is also
okay, I know
a
the
top trending costume. I don't know why. Is that...
I don't know why I know it either, but
I
know it.
Do you know why? That movie came out like 13 years ago. It didn't do that great. But for some reason now, there's like these memes, and there's a video that Finn kept showing me of them singing... like this entire song, and it's 3 minutes long, and then they're like superimposing. You know what I'm talking about, Quentin?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like superimposing different stuff over the song. It's really bad, and it's way too involved, and Finn likes it too much. Hamilton from the musical Hamilton? So you're dressing up like Alexander Hamilton? So you have the bullet wound, I guess, too? That'd be cool.
Gotta be... Well, depending on which version of Hamilton.
That one I could see being a costume for you.
Yeah, I could too.
That actually is not bad.
Uh-huh.
Because you're tall, lanky. You could pull off a founding father look. The beard. I don't know. Hamilton didn't have a beard, but who cares? Right. You can do that pose. Yeah. Just go look at what is he on, the $20 bill?
When is this party? This Friday? No, it's Halloween, so we have a couple weeks still to get this together. Okay.
Then there's Nightwing from, I guess he's a DC comic character.
Okay.
Toothless the Dragon from How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
Glinda from Wicked. Ladybug. No idea. It's not related to anything. It's
just a ladybug?
Dressing up like a ladybug.
Oh, I like that. You need to go as a ladybug. I think that's great.
Actually.
A really big ladybug.
What was that? What was that movie that came out like right
Ladybugs?
After Toy Story?
Oh. Bug's Life.
Bug's Life, yeah. That movie scared me as a kid. Mm-hmm. So... I got scared of the grasshopper. I could pull off the, you know, like, because that, then that, the ladybug in that movie is a dude, and that's the whole bit.
I know we were joking about this, but literally number 21 on this list of trending Halloween costumes is Founding Father.
You could do that.
Yeah. We'll give you one that wasn't a slave owner. Will that make you feel better?
You could die.
That really
all
narrows
white.
The pool.
Hey, most of the guys in the North weren't.
Well, yeah, we'll get to some.
John Adams wasn't.
Hair dye.
Yeah.
Just carry an apple around with me all day.
What does
that's
that have to do with John Adams?
It was. Isn't that the beer?
No, that's Sam Adams.
Sam Adams, okay.
His cousin. Jeez. What is Pyramid Head?
Pyramid Head?
Yeah, I have no idea
that's
what that
thing.
Is. Apparently, it's it's a character from a video game.
I mean, this is dark. This
yeah.
is if you wanted to go
it's from
like
Silent
super
Hill.
Goth.
Yeah, and
I don't like that
Lord
one.
Farquaad.
That's what we call irony.
Yeah. You think he's compensating for something?
You could pull that off.
He's too tall to be Lord Farquaad.
But he's going to be too tall for a lot of things.
Fair. But Lord Farquaad is known for specifically being very short.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll do this tomorrow, though. I cannot wait.
Oh, this is awesome.
The list is going to be, what should Quentin dress as for Halloween? Again, his proportions are, what, you're 6 foot? 3 4
6 4
10?
6 4
and lanky
and lanky
yeah
and
a lot of hair
beard are the glasses necessary?
No, the glasses are just for this show.
Okay. For our radio show that
well,
people can't
it's just
see
because I stare at these screens all day.
Oh,
and
I
get eye strain by looking at all these
different
monitors.
I need to get those. I have a really bad eye strain lately.
It's
really
my
annoying.
Vision is fine. It's just staring at these screens for 4 hours and then going home and also staring at a screen. It hurts my eyeballs.
All right. Coming up next, I don't know, something.
We'll wrap it up.
Yep.
This has been a quick show today. Holy cow, it's already 2 o'clock.
Why
Dana Park's coming up.
This dude's playing Creed in there. He knows.
He's poking the bear.
He does.
That's what he does.
Little tiny bear cub.
Because we might make him go as a ladybug for Halloween.
You know, most ladybugs are men. That's the line. That's what the line you have in your back pocket. Or
I mean,
your
you
shell.
Know, I have shame. There's just very little of it, and it's very buried.
Do you have creative ability? Like, if you have to make a costume, do you have that?
I can go to thrift stores and buy pieces. That's what I can do.
But do you know how to put those pieces? Can you sew things?
So no, I have zero
really
artistic
fun.
Ability.
I will pay for the costume. I will set a budget, though.
And keep in mind, it's got... So the other thing is that... Do most people already have their costumes? Is it Slim Pickens right now?
I don't know. We got Finn. The only one dressing up this year for us is Finn, and we got his costume over the weekend.
Okay, so we might have to give him a first choice and a second choice in case the first choice is not.
The problem is also ordering things on Amazon. That is all backed up.
Good luck.
Where
yes,
you're worried about ordering it because it might not come in time.
Right.
So, Ladybug, that'd be good. How about you could go with Scott Stapp from Creed? Sure. Why not?
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of the band from Creed. Or if I have, I'd be like, those are just some generic.
Yeah, just pretty
rock
much.
Stars.
Well, just listen to the way he sings. And that's how he looks.
I will do more research on this list than all the other lists combined. Just to fit the fit
Six
the size
four.
And the shape and the
what are you,
attitude.
What are you, $180?
Yeah, $185.
God, I nailed it. So 6'4", $180, 26-year-old man. What is he going to dress up as for Halloween?
This might be the most interest we get from the text line.
That's tomorrow for the list at noon,
tomorrow.
And then we're going to vote on it on Friday. But you get to get your nominations in tomorrow. Make sure you're here for that.
Fun.
For us, we're out of here. Dana Parks is up next. See you tomorrow at 10. Love you guys. Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.